Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, welcome to another edition of Star Chat. Alongside the award-winning Kevin Turner at KT Fun Tweets, I'm Jared Sandler. And this is our first Star Chat after a Cowboys regular season game. It's sponsored by Blankety Blank, our friends over at Blankety Blank. You can find them online at blanketyblank.com. They do so many great things, and I'm just my life is so much better because of Blankety Blank.
They're crushing it over there at Blankety Blank.
Now, if you want to replace
my guys,
yeah, if you want to replace Blankety Blank, you can always.
And no offense to Blankety Blank, but we are openly looking and taking applications.
It's an open relationship.
Yes,
very open. We're not cheating on Blankety Blank. They are aware, and we're swinging.
We're swingers.
Yeah. You can help us fulfill our dream of being sponsorship swingers by emailing sam.morton@entercom.com, andy.brooks@entercom.com, chelsea.dickinson@entercom.com, the guy that doesn't talk very much, Bucky? No, that's not his
Brady.
Name. Brady. Brady. Dot.
Having trouble with the last
What's
name.
His last?
I think it's LaRock.
Brady.LaRock@entercom.com. Do we have any new salespeople? Oh, Eden.Lucas@entercom.com. You can also email Tim.Collins@entercom.com to let him know that the previous people we've mentioned need to.
I'm going to throw some crazy ones out there for you. How about Melissa Schranky?
Okay, Melissa.Schranky.
C-H-I-R-A-N-K-Y.
And you got it?
Been doing some work on some other podcasts.
So. All right, at entercom.com.
Yeah, at entercom.com.
Nice.
With an E, not an I.
So. What's with an E?
Intercom.
Oh, Entercom.
Yeah.
Yeah, correct.
Entercom with an E.
All right, so, you know, Blankety Blank looking for a partner.
Please sponsor us.
Yeah, please sponsor us. All right, Star Chat.
For all things holy.
We are going to, just to give you an idea of what's going on, we're going to break down Cowboys-Panthers. We'll look ahead to Cowboys-Giants and take a look around the NFL. We'll start with Cowboys-Panthers. The Cowboys are 0-1. It was a really, you know, if you weren't a Cowboys fan, it was a boring game. If you are a Cowboys fan, it was a like depressing game.
Yeah.
And I guess we got to start with Dak. I hate to go back to that well, but it's obviously the most significant thing. My best one sentence thought of Dak on Sunday: there are no excuses for how poorly he played, or this is not an excuse for how poorly he played. He did not get a lot of support from the offensive line. And he does not have a lot of support from a receiving core that is without a true playmaker. But with all that said, he was missing way too many easy throws.
Yeah, missing throws, not helping himself out by not, you know, pumping the ball down the field just a little bit. I mean, basically, the total area of coverage that the Panthers had to cover was 10 yards the entire game. 10 yards is all you ever had to cover. And that's a problem, man. You've got to throw it up a few times and let someone try to go make a play, especially on a secondary that's kind of weak. I mean, the Panthers' secondary is not great. Their defensive line's awesome. Their linebackers are awesome. Their secondary, that was the area I thought they might have a little chance to maybe – I thought they might have more success throwing the ball than running the ball. And they just never took the chances, and it's just frustrating. The game won't define him. I'm choosing to look at this game as like maybe that was last year's Denver, you know, the week two game, and just maybe that's what it was, and they're not that bad. But that one's one where you walk away and you're really looking at yourself in the mirror going, holy crap, is it that bad?
Okay, if we have a pie and there are two pieces, piece one is Dak, piece two is Linehan / play calling, and this is a blame pie, how are you splitting that up?
Dak.
Oh, it's all Dak.
No, you have to split it up a little bit, right?
I mean,
it's all one big equation. I mean, Lyle Collins wasn't great.
Sure, yeah.
Tyron's getting penalties.
The reality is there are multiple pieces. But if you were to look at those two components.
Dak, 75%.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I think I'd go.
He's bad, man.
I think I'd go play calling 55, Dak 45.
Okay.
Not not, and again, this is not to apologize for Dak. Dak was really bad. I don't know, KT. And I know that you don't necessarily champion Scott Linehan by any means.
No.
But we've seen Dak Prescott perform very well.
Yeah.
And I got to believe that to some degree, the coaches need to help him get back to that. He's coming off a bad year. And, you know, you just mentioned, like, taking advantage of the Panthers secondary. Last week when Broaddus filled in, one thing he said was, look for the Cowboys to take a few chances deep against Dante Jackson. And I'm sure you know this.
Tiny
because,
guy, yeah.
Yep, and Broaddus brought this up. You guys watching film, Dante Jackson bites on double moves.
Yeah.
So if you guys know this, gosh, I certainly believe that they know this.
You'd hope so, right?
And I know that Dak didn't have all the time in the world every single play. I'm just surprised that I'm surprised that that weakness was not exploited. And I know that that is not Dak's greatest strength. But I mean, there did come a time where it's like, hey, just let's try get a big play here. I don't know. But I'm with you. It's so tough to pass judgment definitively on one game, but it just was not a good start.
Well, to go where you're going, though, the play calling problems I had were a couple things. A, I don't understand why we have to have so many two tight end sets. We were in 12 personnel a ton.
Especially because they're not very good.
It doesn't make any sense to me. They had a couple times where they went to five wide receiver set. Maybe it was just once. Went to the five wide receiver set, and one of the guys on the field, or two of the wide receivers on the field, were tight ends.
Yeah.
So how come Tavon Austin only got 10 plays?
And isn't
the first play of the game, we go to the screen. I thought we were trying to get him the ball a ton. Yeah. Well, he was on the field for 10 plays. What are we talking about right now?
And those
now?
Five that receiver sets are perfect for him. That's space creation right
and,
there.
And it's just something that they don't have. So I hope that they're going and making the adjustment. If someone put it, I hope I get this quote right, and I forgot even who to give it credit to, but the coaches can't save the scheme, and the scheme can't save the coaches because they're not changing anything.
Yeah.
So that's a bit of a problem. Yeah, absolutely. I thought the offensive line play's got to be better, and I think there's some things Dak's got to be better at the line. When it's 2nd and 17, and then you've got an 8-man box, and you're going to run into it on 2nd and 17. Well, they're in an 8-man box because they know you won't check out of it. So, and they know what you're doing. Yeah. So, there's a lot of things. But I will say this. There should be credit given on plays that work. You know, that the screenplay right off the top, that was good. Tyron, an aggressive penalty. Okay, I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah.
It's aggressive block. The Zeke touchdown, all right? The play that actually got them into the end zone. Man, that's pretty good. The sprint option, didn't see that.
Loved it, yeah.
They look good on a lot of
those. That was creative, you're right.
A lot of those sweep type plays where they're moving to the outside and the offensive line are moving and they're pinning the defensive end on the inside. Plays like that were working well, and those are well designed plays. So they should get credit for the things that were working. And there were some plays that I think the play everyone's talking about is Michael Gallup coming across on the crosser, and he's wide open and he catches the pass and it's a touchdown. But Dak just didn't put the ball on him, and that happened way too much.
The Blake Jarwin throw and a number of others. Are you surprised? I guess I thought, and maybe this is wrong of me, I thought Zeke was going to be more a part of the passing game. Not that he was non-existent. I think he had three catches. Yeah. I think that, you know, Zeke has the ability. He's not Le'Veon Bell or anything, but he's got the ability to be a 4-to-5 catch guy. And for a guy like Dak, who, you know, isn't the world's most accurate passer, I guess maybe you need to stretch the defense's scope beyond 10 yards to open up guys coming out of the backfield. I don't know. I thought that there'd be a little more there. But I'm curious who's going to step up as a pass catcher for this team. And again, I'm not asking this because, man, they really let Dak down. But who's the guy that's going to help give Dak that life raft or the lifeboat, the life vest, whatever, when he needs it, because he's going to need it. He is not Aaron Rodgers. He's not going to take a receiver and make that receiver better. That receiver is going to have to make Dak better.
That's where you have the argument about the Witten thing hurting you and all that stuff. You know, I think Cole Beasley is the closest thing we have to that guy right now, and I thought Cole looked good, but Cole could have had a 100-yard game, you know, for talking about them. I mean, there were times that he was open, and Dak just didn't see him and didn't get in the ball. Now, look, Dak's never been some guy who throws with anticipation. He's never been some guy who throws a great deep ball. It's not some guy who's accurate all of the time. But he's better than what he's shown, and he's a lot better than what he's shown.
We've seen
but it. But it's, I think there's a couple things here. I think, one, we look at the last half of last season, because you have to. It's real evidence. And we're talking about eight games of 32-game window, okay? And you sit there and go, well, that sucked, man. That was a good first half, and that sucked. And then here we go again. And it's got a real vibe of dog crap, man, just because, like, and hey, week one, look, you know, like when the Rangers lose on opening day, we sit there and go, oh, you know, it feels horrible, right? Yep. It feels like you lost five games instead of one. But it was just, you want to have a little hope, and they've done nothing personnel-wise that makes you have optimism, you know? I mean, when your big offseason move on offense was to bring in Tavon Austin, doesn't really do much.
Yeah, not a
And I'm a big fan of getting him the ball more, but it was just bad, man. But again, you can look at if you want to be positive about it and find a way. It takes a lot of searching. You can sit there and go, man, maybe that was just a bad game.
Yep.
And play the Giants, and we'll see what happens.
And another element of positivity of the defense. I thought the defense looked good. And
defense was great, man. Yeah. They were really good.
And they struggled with Cam running the ball in the first half, made an adjustment, and that was not an issue in the second half. I thought Taco played maybe his best game as a pro. And, you know, I thought the secondary, that cornerback group, I thought was really strong, too. There's pretty good depth there.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and I'm glad you said that about Cam, too, because, you know, there were a lot of people saying, oh, Sean Lee missing the tackles, and they're not reading the option well. Man, I think if you watch the Panthers just a little bit, I think you see that Cam does that stuff to everyone. That's what Cam Newton does to every team. So it wasn't alarming to me, man. And look, you hold a team to 16 points, you need to get a win. They got to find a way to be able to score 20 points a game. They've got to find a way to be able to do that. And I think it's in them. I think they have it in them. I really do. I'm not some guy who just like doesn't believe anymore because of one game. I refuse to be that way. But you know what's the leash here? Well, at what point do you go, man, this really is a bad offense? Is it week four? Is it week five? Is it next week? I don't know, man. Dak's done nothing to make you feel better about the situation, and I'm a fan of just the kid and what he can bring and all that stuff, but it makes me nervous. Yeah, it makes me really nervous.
Before we move on to Cowboys Giants and then around the NFL later on, the 4th and 10, the decision to go for it, that, you know, the Cowboys ended up getting, they didn't get it. They get the ball back, but they don't get the ball back in great field position. Yeah. They did get the stop. So, you know, one of the thoughts is, well, you got the three timeouts and the 2-minute warning. Defense is rolling. Pin them deep. Give yourself a chance with great field position because the offense hasn't moved the ball. So the likelihood of the offense going 80 yards is, you know, slim. The other thought is, well, you know, it's only 10 yards, and not that that's a gimme, but you know, you give yourself already in decent field position a chance to extend the drive. And if you don't get it like they didn't, then you still will get the ball back if you get the stop that you need.
My thought there is that there's no guarantee that you're getting the ball back, so you better go. That's how I thought.
So you were okay with going for it?
Yeah.
So I was too, and I think we're in the minority.
Really?
I guess based on what I've seen and what I've heard,
people were just wanting to bitch on Sunday.
And I get the side of it. Well, you know, play to your strength for that day, and the strength that day was the defense. But again, there's the most deflating way to lose is when a team after you punt just runs the clock out.
I agree. And look, you need the points either way. And those points are likely coming with you having the ball, not your defense scoring for you. So, to me, you try to extend it. And, if again, you always have the thing to fall back on. You always have the plan B of, well, I got to get a stop anyways.
Yeah.
So, to me, you go, and I had no problem with that.
Good. And we don't, you know, we don't rehearse what we're going to say here. So, I really had no idea where you're going to stand on that. Because A lot of the reaction I've seen is, why the hell would they go for it? That was silly. And I will very rarely knock a coach for being aggressive. And I actually thought I'll give Jason Garrett credit. I thought he did a good job with the clock management, using the timeouts.
Sure.
And I like the decision, you know, whether it's a his decision or Linehan's or a joint, I like the decision to go for it. Didn't work out. I'll take that decision.
Yeah, and I'll say this too. You look at, you know, the team having the ball, I didn't have any confidence that they were going to get the fourth and 10, and I didn't have any confidence that they were going to score either way. So
right.
You get to kind of see the game turning. You could see the hope, but, you know, to me, and that's also a play, though, where I'm not really sure there is a wrong decision.
Right.
You know, I don't, like, we're always quick to, if it's a run or a pass or whatever it is, we like to gripe about something and have a really hard, man, I don't really know if there is a right or wrong call right there. It's right if it works out for you. It's wrong if it doesn't.
And I'll also say this. One last thing why I didn't mind that decision. A touchdown doesn't necessarily tie the game. You still have to get the two-point conversion.
Absolutely.
So if you punt and you get the ball back, you go and score and miss the two-point conversion, mm-hmm. game's over.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to get an onside kick. At least if you were to go for it, get it, score, miss the two-point conversion, depending on when you score, maybe you still could then play the...
Sure.
You know, stop and punt. All right, so Cowboys Giants this week. This is big. You know, if you want to play into the numbers, I think since 07, I saw 0-2 teams have made the playoffs just 10 times out of 92 opportunities.
Yeah,
and this would be a road loss, a division loss, which, you know, division losses come to play in tiebreaker situations. And you know, if the Cowboys were to make the playoffs, they probably are going to make the playoffs with the tiebreaker coming in play,
mm-hmm.
whether it's within the division or your NFC record. So you don't want to fall to 0-2 in the NFC either. So the Giants were in a position to win against the Jags, KT.
Sure were.
That was a muff punt away from, you know, having the ball with a chance to score and win.
Stayed in the game, and I honestly, just based on everything you can kind of read about it as well, I'm going to watch some of the game, but based on what you can kind of read about it too, is that the Giants are kind of actually pumped. I mean, they were like, hey, we were competitive. Odell Beckham had 11 catches. I think they threw it to him 15 times at 11 catches. Barkley broke a big run. He was pretty ineffective despite the big 68-yard run. But there you go. We got our new rookie showing something. We got every other rookie's feet wet. We got the new coach's feet wet, you know. And you got Beckham back in the mix. So I think there's a lot of positives to take out of that game for the Giants.
So I think the one thing, the first thing that stands out to me is that the Cowboys have an opportunity to live in the backfield. The Giants' O-line was not very good. It's not supposed to be very good. And Ereck Flowers was horrible early on. Two penalties on the opening drive, including a tripping. You know, they've moved him from the left to the right side. But I really think that if the Cowboys win, they're going to take advantage of the Giants' O-line. That is a mismatch, or that's a matchup that favors the Cowboys.
DeMarcus Lawrence, I mean, he's a 3-sack candidate going up for this week. And, you know, 3 sacks is tough to get. So I feel like there's that. Will Hernandez, the rookie guard, struggled a little bit. But the Giants scare me. I mean, I think there's enough there, too. And look at their ancillary pieces. And Evan Engram, it's not a name to sneeze at. And Sterling Shepard. And there seems to be like a new, you know, I don't know how much this stuff matters, but a new swagger, if you want to call it, just a new breath of fresh air of getting Ben McAdoo out of there. I mean, can you imagine being 2-14 and you're having that guy and what he did to Eli?
He looks like
stuff?
Steve Lavin with his hair.
Yeah.
It was brutal.
I saw the line came out, Jared, 3.5 underdogs.
Cowboys are.
The Giants opened at 3.5 underdogs to Dallas.
Oh, the Giants are
underdogs to Dallas.
Well, I'll tell you.
Didn't you think that's weird? I almost kind of had a pick 'em vibe based on the performances.
I guess we'll get to our predictions in a little bit.
Yep.
But, you know, I guess one reason why that is surprising, I thought the Giants defensively looked good. Particularly in the secondary. And, you know, I thought Eli Apple, who's come under a lot of heat, he had a good game. Janoris Jenkins was probably their best defensive player.
Mm-hmm.
Landon Collins is, you know, he's solid. I know some people like him more than others, but he's a good physical presence, you know, at the safety spot. That secondary is not going to make life easy for Dak Prescott. And that's kind of where I wonder, like, who's the guy that will catch passes that can go in and help beat up a good secondary?
Man, doesn't it feel like it's going to be a week-to-week proposition?
Yeah.
As I don't even – I wish I could line up and say, man, Gallup's going to break out, or, hey, Deontay Thompson showed up now, or Beasley. Man, now it just really feels like this is just going to be something, and some five catches, and it could be T-Will one game, and it could be, you know, Gallup the next or Hearns the next. That's what I feel like it's going to be, and I'm not sure that's a great idea. But one thing I really need them to do is get the tight ends off the field and get your fast guys on the field. I think that style can work if you're treating it like an offense. As Bucky Brooks said in the offseason, Dak will be the point guard. You'll have four or five wide receivers a lot who are fast, okay? Get some guys who can go and get open, which, you know, brought us in his full film breakdown. He said that the wide receivers were getting open most of the time. If they're getting open, that's a positive.
Yeah, they're doing their job.
Dak's got to put the ball in the money. But you're right, man. If you're not pushing the ball down the field at all, then you really put yourself in a situation where the defense can creep up and cover a short area space, and it just makes it easy on them.
Snacks worry you?
Snacks worries me.
Damon Snacks Harrison.
Just given what we've seen with Looney, too, and Looney was fine. Connor Williams was good, too. Zach Martin was good. I'm more worried about the communication aspect of all of it.
Sure.
Reading blitzes, counting men in the box, picking out who the Mike is and who the Sam is, all that type of stuff, because that appeared to be a problem. We saw a couple of media members today talk about that was a big issue with Looney and you know, and Dak too. That's got to be on Dak. Dak's got to see things more at the line, and I know that's going to affect how he's reading defenses, but he's going to have to call out some things at the line and adjust out of plays. I would like to see Dak have more of a free rope, too. I'd like to see Dak get a series where he's just calling the plays. You know, just mix it up a little bit to kind of see what's different.
But did you tweet that? I think I didn't, but... I thought I saw someone say that would be good for Dak if you just kind of gave him the keys to the car for a position.
Yeah, no good about the defense keeping you in games. So, but now it's just about... it's just about proving to everyone you can do this, because no one's seen you do it yet, you know, besides week one of the preseason. I'm talking about the offense.
Sure. Anything else from this matchup that jumps out to you?
You know, covering Beckham is going to be fun. Cheeto's probably going to draw that assignment. I would imagine they did a great job of moving him around.
I was going to say, I looked at a chart. You know, where he started and where his routes took him, and he's all over the field. I mean, it's got to be a team effort, right?
Like, yeah, that's a team effort. That's a scheming effort, and that's what Pat Shurmur's good at, is coming up with things like that. Because everyone talked about, it's Odell Beckham versus Jalen Ramsey. Well, Jalen Ramsey didn't give up 11 catches to Odell Beckham. Odell Beckham was moving around. They were moving him away. And that's how teams are playing the Jaguars, obviously, right now. So, you know, I think you have to be ready for that. I think Saquon could be a bit of a problem if Will Hernandez gets his feet back on the ground. Daniel Ross made a big play in the game, but still definitely concerned about the defensive interior for the Cowboys. But I think we're looking at a close game. I think we're looking at a tight one on Sunday night, and as it normally is with the Cowboys Giants.
So you ready to make a prediction?
I am.
All right. You want to go first?
Cowboys 20. Giants 14.
Okay. So we surprisingly both had the Cowboys winning. I got 23-7 or 23-20. Cowboys win.
And if they burn me here, it's going to be hard for me to pick them again.
Yeah. They might be 0-16 if they. I'm just kidding.
That would be horrible.
I'm not Mike Bassick. all right. This is the Star Chat podcast brought to you by Blankety Blank. You can visit them at blanketyblank.com. They got this really sweet promotion. You can get 3 Blankety Blanks for the price of 1. Just head over to blankyblank.com or call them at 972-blankety-blank, 214-blankety-blank, and they just actually added the 817.
Yeah, so it's all the digits, too. Blankety-blank is all of those digits. Weird numbers.
It will go through, I promise. All right, you want to go around the NFL quickly?
Let's do it, yeah.
All right, so we'll just go game by game. Let's start with the games last night. The later game, the Rams-Oakland matchup, Oakland got out to an early lead, but the Rams won 33-13, and I don't think there's any surprise there.
A little bit of adrenaline right there. The Rams look really good, though. And in the first half, they're a little sloppy, but they didn't play at all in the preseason. They looked really good in the second half. And
Derek Carr sucks.
Derek Carr might be a problem.
That's going to be a tough hole to
really
dig out of.
I didn't really know that
of.
Was going to happen, but yeah, that could be a problem. Goff looks really good, too.
Yeah.
And Brandon Cooks to that offense.
Dude,
And what a difference that is.
And yeah, and you know what? So he had a good stat line. He also drew to like penalties on pass interference calls, which I
that's how I always used to judge Sammy Watkins. Like, dude, can you get two pass interference? Can you get me a pass interference down the field?
So I wish that I know people keep those stats. I wish they were more prominently discussed because I do think that like a receiver deserves credit for that.
I do too, man.
I'm not saying that.
I
like,
also don't believe it should be a 70-yard penalty every time.
I agree. Too. I don't like a lot of college rules. I do think that I do like the fact that it's capped at 15 yards is a good rule.
So I would like 15 or for the deep ball or whatever. The wide receivers would say, well, yeah, but the defensive back can just, you know, at the 60-yard line, he can just molest you.
Yeah.
So, you know, part of me likes it being a spot foul. The other part of me wishes it was like maybe a half the distance type thing or something like that.
Half the
like
distance
that.
Of the penalty? Yeah. Okay, I could live with that.
Something like that.
Yeah. Did you? I had Rangers duty, so I didn't really get to watch the broadcast a ton. Mm-hmm. Witten thoughts?
Oh,
yeah. I saw Twitter, man.
It's just not. I've never seen him as that personality guy. I've always seen him as a kind of guy that sounds like he just got punched in the stomach.
He's like always out of breath.
Kind of always out of breath guy. Yeah. I think Booger's okay. I think Booger's pretty good. I think I like Tessitore. And it's not that I don't like Witten.
You need to see more.
It doesn't feel right yet. And with Romo, it felt right immediately.
Jerry was on with Sean and RJ this morning, and they asked him about it, and he was really complimentary. Do you think Jerry watched?
Probably, yeah.
Okay, all right.
Especially Rams and Raiders. Those are Jerry's two side teams.
So. Yeah, that's right. And I know that even – I'm not suggesting that Jerry gave a bad report, because Jerry would not go on and blast Witten. I was curious when I was listening. All right, Jets-Dolphins, Jets-Lions, the Jets won 48-17. Matt Stafford was pretty horrible.
They got problems in Detroit.
Yeah, and you know what?
I saw this coming with Patricia, too. I saw this coming.
Well, they've got a really good receiving core with Jones, Tate, and Galladay. Kenny Galladay looked good, but my gosh, Matt Stafford was just having the darndest time. And, you know, you know where I stand on Sam Darnold. I just was so influenced by his decision making at USC over the last 2 years.
You saw it.
The talent is there. But man, when he threw that first interception, I was like, "Yep, that's the guy I saw." Like,
that was pretty par for the course for old Sam.
But you know what? Credit to him. On the road, he came back and he was pretty good.
Yeah, he was real good, man. And that's, I mean, look, the Jets might be better than teams than we've been giving them credit for. Quincy Enunwa. Right, is that how we say his name? Out there making plays. They got a weird, like hey, we got the very basic running backs.
Yeah.
Kroll and Powell.
Yeah.
Your guys here, just, God. Okay, yeah, I guess I'll have to start him on my fantasy team this week because I don't have anyone else better. Like, those are the types of guys that they have, but they've got a little bit of a foundation there. They gave up a lot to go up and get Darnold, so we'll see how it works out for them.
Detroit looked horrible.
Detroit looked really bad.
Really bad.
All these assistant coaches of Belichick's.
They never, because
they come in and they try to put his rules on everyone and try to turn it into New England 2.0, and it just doesn't work without him.
Okay, so let me, and I'm probably forgetting a ton here. Bill O'Brien, mixed results.
Josh McDaniels,
Romeo Crennel, Matt Patricia, Charlie Weiss. Yeah, I mean, you know, he had one good year. He kind of inherited the team at Notre Dame, and then once it was out of Ty Willingham's scope, he struggled. I'm sure there's more.
Yeah,
but anyway.
It's weird, man.
All right, you were at Lambeau for Packers Bears. We were both pretty pumped about that one. Packers with a 24-23 win. It's really tough to say because I understand that this brings out a lot of anger, but. To me, Aaron Rodgers, the best quarterback I've ever seen, and I really believe if he was on the Patriots, he would win the same Super Bowls that Brady won. It's not to say Brady's not good. Brady is unbelievable. I just think that Rodgers can do things that Brady has just never been able to do, and it's not Rodgers' fault that the defense gives up about 30-plus points a game in playoff games, and he's lost, what, three overtime playoff games where he's not touched the ball in overtime?
Yeah, no, I agree with you 100%.
There's just nothing more
I need to say. You said it all right there.
But I will say this. Chicago's D?
Yeah.
Look good.
Dude, you add Roquan and Khalil Mack to a defense, they're automatically going to make a big jump. And, you know, I think that was a good learning loss for Matt Nagy and that team. they're going places, man. He got, learned a little bit. He's a good play caller. He just kind of got caught up and got pass heavy. They should have kept running the ball, and they would have won the game. But once the Bears learn how to start finishing games, watch out for them, because that defense has done enough, and that offense with him and his schemes and his ideas,
they'll be all
he
right.
is this year's McVay, and I was calling for this last year. I was telling everyone, this is the guy. This is the guy you need to go get. Matt Nagy with the Chiefs. He was the Chiefs OC. He was the next Sean McVay, and he got that coaching job, and he's going to be okay. Now, all the Bears fans in Chicago were very pissed off with how he handled that game and how he handled the press conference, but he had a very measured response of, hey, this is the beginning. This is the beginning. We're going to find, we're going to learn from this. We're going to learn how to finish all that stuff. And I agree, man. The Bears are about to build something special.
Yeah, I like what they're
Trubisky
doing.
I think Trubisky can play, too.
Yep. No, and I think you saw flashes.
Yes.
I think you saw flashes. All right, Minnesota 24, San Fran 16. I think Minnesota is going to have the best record in the NFC at the regular season. And, you know, that I thought they were going to end up blowing them out by more. San Francisco made it close late, but
Dalvin
I just think
changes that whole offense.
Yeah,
too.
And where's their what's their weakness? What's Minnesota's weakness?
I don't even know.
Is it
offensive line?
Is it? I don't know. I guess that would be the one, but it's not like they've got a Houston Texans offensive line. It's a better group than that. And I'm a big Cousins guy, so you know maybe some people look and say, well, their weakness is their quarterback. That doesn't fly with me because I think Kirk Cousins is really good.
I think he can play too, man. I think Kyle Rudolph's really good if he can stay healthy. I think the receivers are good. That's going to be a tough team to beat.
Did you – and I forget y'all scout on Dalvin Cook coming out of college.
Because
he well, no, I know you loved him. And I you know, he was really effective in the passing game. Was he did you look at him and say, this is a guy that's going to be an impact pass-catching back?
Yes. Absolutely is a pass catcher. Pass blocking, too. There were concerns that he had a sickle cell trait situation that Ty Montgomery had. We've seen that with him. But I'm not sure if that ever got debunked or not. And there was also some off-the-field issues. The whole, what I was told was he doesn't need to be drafted anywhere near the state of Florida. So get him up there in Minnesota, away from the problems.
That works. Stay with the Vikings, Jimmy Garoppolo looked really poor. I'm not going to rush to judgment because I think that Minnesota defense will do that to a lot of quarterbacks.
I saw that coming, man. I thought, I mean, it was just a bad matchup.
Yeah.
Anytime you play Minnesota, it's going to be a bad matchup. It's going to be a bad matchup for Marquise Goodwin. The 49ers will be fine. I don't think they're going to be a, you know, 8-win team, but I think that's a 6-10, 7-9, maybe 8-8 type of team.
And they are working towards getting better. It doesn't happen overnight. All right, Cincinnati 34, Indy 23. Honestly, my biggest takeaway was just great to see Andrew Luck healthy and slinging the ball around.
Yeah,
absolutely. And, you know, he was good.
And I think Joe Mixon's going to turn into one of those top-tier backs or upper-tier backs in the league.
Yeah. Baltimore 47, Buffalo 3.
My God, Peterman sucks.
Well, he is the worst quarterback in the NFL.
Good Lord.
That is brutal. I don't even know how to gauge how good Baltimore was, because they're playing against a guy who doesn't belong as a starting quarterback in the NFL.
I had nothing on Baltimore. I'm just sitting there going, they had to deal with Peterman.
The one question I have with Baltimore is Joe Flacco going to have the type of year that is fueled by all the doubts of his abilities now?
Maybe.
With Lamar Jackson.
I always wonder if that stuff matters. We drafted a guy, and RG3's still around. And, you know, everyone's been critical. I mean, Baltimore could be a playoff team.
Yeah.
They really easily
could
be a
playoff
team.
Some people think they're winning that division.
Yeah.
Maybe the biggest surprise of the weekend, other than the fact that Nathan Peterman's the starting quarterback in the NFL. Tampa Bay 48, New Orleans 40.
Didn't see that coming, man.
My gosh.
Wonder if that's what's going on with that Saints defense.
Yeah, and I thought they were going to be better this year. I mean, the past they've been just a total liability.
You know, they may be one of those teams where they don't really get everything settled till week 8.
Yeah.
You know, and then it's like, okay, now we're starting to play good. They'll figure it out, though. I have full faith in that team.
I still don't know how anyone's going to stop them. I mean, that's a pretty ridiculous offense.
16 catches for Michael Thomas.
My Lord.
16 catches?
Yeah.
And then Kamara went nuts.
And Ted Ginn is still alive and kicking.
Still making plays.
Yeah. Holy smokes.
Kind of frustrating.
Jacksonville 20, the Giants 15. We talked about that. Yep. Leonard Fournette going down hurts. Hopefully he's all right. I guess I have questions about Jacksonville's receiving corps. I don't know.
No,
is Keelan Cole good enough to be their main guy?
No, they don't have a number one. That's for sure.
And that's tough with Blake Bortles.
Cole, Westbrook, Moncrief. And then, you know, I think their tight end, Austin Seferian-Jenkins, is going to end up being a really good red zone target. He had a touchdown almost, but it was called back as a penalty.
Yeah.
There's enough there to get by, and I think they're just talented enough to be fine. I mean, they're a team who will take the ball away from you. So I still look at Jacksonville as a top five team in the league.
Their defense is going to be a part of their offense, just like last year.
It's weird saying that a team with Bortles at the helm is a top five, but I just I believe in that defense way too much.
That's why it's a team sport, and that's why if you want to say that a quarterback wins or loses, it is very much a team sport.
Yes, absolutely.
Pittsburgh and Cleveland tie 21. Josh Gordon had a ridiculous catch in that game. Nice to see him on the field. Hopefully he puts together a healthy season. Yep. I wonder how good Juju Smith-Schuster is. I wonder at the end of the year how we're going to be talking about him. He had a great season last year. Are we going to talk about him as a top X receiver, you know, top 10, top 15? He had a nice start to the season.
No, I think that's interesting, and that could be a thing, too. I mean, look, Antonio Brown's still going to get his targets. I think Antonio Brown still had 15-plus targets on the day, but you're right, man. He's the clear number two there now.
Yeah.
But they've got James Washington that they're going to develop, and he's going to continue to get touches. Eli Rogers will get touches.
Yep.
My question is, how good is James Conner?
He had a great start.
He did have a fumble, but two touchdowns and 136 yards, led the league in rushing, and Le'Veon Bell's over there partying and out at the club, and I'm like, well, man, I'm not even sure they need you.
that was especially with all the narratives building around Le'Veon, what a way to start for James Conner. All right, I'm going to stick to this, KT. I said this last year. Houston will beat New England in the playoffs, but they did not beat them in week one, 27-20, the Patriots over the Texans. Lamar Miller's one of the more underrated players in the NFL.
Okay, so I always thought he was one of the more overrated players in the NFL.
Are we going to fight on this?
No. He was over at the time of the contract. I thought he was overrated.
Got it. Yeah, when everyone wanted him to be the Cowboys savior in the backfield.
There you go, there. I mean, that was a really good week for him, top five rusher in the NFL. Through 1 week, obviously, but man, I don't really see Deontay Foreman taking a ton of touches away from him.
Yeah.
Once he gets back, and I just Lamar Miller's the guy. It's maybe I should give him more credit.
New England. I mean, there's nothing unique about New England. Did they just
that game was
what
pretty blah, man? Yeah. Which because New England got up and put him away, but New England's going to do that to teams that they have time to game plan for like that.
Miami 27, Tennessee 20. I really don't care.
It's an 8-hour game.
Yeah, who cares? Kansas City 38, and you got the Chargers 28. That's a pretty fun offense to watch. Pat Mahomes with a Knights debut.
Dude, Tyreek Hill, two touchdowns. That's that division, too, is right there.
Yeah.
To me, I think it's Chargers and Chiefs. So.
Yeah, it's certainly not the Raiders.
And if the Chargers get, maybe, you know, Bosa back and get everyone healthy on defense, I think that would have helped out a little bit. So, but that's going to be a fun division to follow just with those two, and then we'll see what Denver does with Case Keenum.
So let's go to Denver, 27-24. They beat Seattle. Hey, Philip Lindsay. He might be this year's running back who no one really talks about, who has a really good year.
I mean, isn't that the whole thing Denver does, though? They come up with the Landis Garys and C.J. Andersons and Ronnie Hillmans, and, you know, you could go on for days.
Mike Andersons.
I mean, my goodness. They have these no-name running backs. So Freeman and Philip Lindsay go have the same stat line.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Devontae Booker was going to win the job, and he's over there on the sideline going, damn, I guess I'm not playing. All right.
Washington 24, Arizona 6.
Peterson's still alive.
Yeah, Alex Smith kind of did his thing, and Adrian Peterson, 160-plus total yards. Unreal.
Crazy, man. This is going to – that dies in week five, right? Like,
yeah. Oh, no,
this thing
absolutely
doesn't go
he
long,
did that
right?
with Arizona last year,
yeah,
didn't he?
This
like,
doesn't
he
last
have,
long,
didn't
right?
he have one really good week with Arizona?
Yeah, like 100-yard game, yeah.
He didn't, like – yeah. All right, that's going to do it for us here on Star Chat. He's the award-winning Kevin Turner at KT Fun Tweets. I'm Jared Sandler. Star Chat, as always, brought to you by Blankety Blank. Be sure to go to BlanketyBlank.com to check out that great special.
Yeah.
You get three Blankety Blanks for the price of one. 214-BLANKETY-BLANK, 972-BLANKETY-BLANK, 817-BLANKETY-BLANK, and be sure to email sam.morton@entercom.com and tell him to get to work. Until next week, thanks for joining us.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.